Merry Christmas, and thanks for letting me join your family's Christmas celebration. At some point, you'll probably spend a good part of your day today exchanging presents. But I'll bet your gift exchange hasn't been anything like the one that takes place between Ray and Larry every year. As brothers-in-law, they've been exchanging the same pair of pants as a Christmas present for years. And each time, the package has gotten harder and harder to open. It all started when Ray received a pair of moleskin trousers from his brother-in-law, Larry. The pants had been a gift that Larry's mother gave him when he was a college student. He wore them a few times, but didn't like them, and so he gave them to Ray. Ray wore them a few times as well, and then wrapped them back up and gave them back to Larry for Christmas the next year. The friendly exchange continued routinely until Ray twisted the pants tightly and then stuffed them into a 3-foot-long, 1-inch-wide tube and gave them back to Larry. Next Christmas, Larry compressed the pants into a 7-inch square, wrapped them with wire, and gave them back to Ray. Well, not to be outdone, the next year Ray put the pants into a 2-foot square crate, filled it with stones, nailed it shut, banded it with steel, and then gave the pants back to Larry. They agreed to end the exchange if the pants were ever damaged, but they were as careful as they were clever. Larry had the pants mounted inside a double-pane insulated window that had a 20-year guarantee and shipped them off to Ray. Well, Ray broke the glass, recovered the pants, stuffed them in a 5-inch coffee can, and soldered it shut. The can was put in a 5-gallon container filled with concrete and reinforcing rods, and then was given back to Larry the following Christmas. 2 years ago, Larry installed the pants in a 225-pound homemade steel ashtray made from 8-inch steel casings and etched Ray's name on the side. Ray had trouble retrieving the treasured trousers, but succeeded without hurting them with a cutting torch. The next Christmas, Ray designed and decorated a 600-pound safe with red and green stripes, put the pants inside, and then welded the safe shut. The next year, Larry delivered the pants in a drab green 3-foot cube that once was a car with 95,000 miles on it. A note attached to the 2,000-pound scrunched car advised Ray that the pants were inside the glove compartment. "This will take some planning," Ray said, "but I will definitely get them out." Well, for the next few minutes, I want to talk about the kind of gifts that we give at Christmas. Now, the passage we've been tracking during our Christmas series is found in Titus chapter 2, and verses 11 through 14 says this: "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." So far on this journey, we've seen that the incarnation brought something to the table that the world had never seen before. And that something was grace. In fact, you could say that the term God's grace is a redundancy, because there was no other source for grace. If God didn't bring it, we would have never experienced it. And then we celebrated the glory of God. The Old Testament world had waited a long time for his glory to be revealed. The problem was they had a myopic view of what glory should look like, and the manger wasn't it. We now wait for Jesus' second advent, one that will provide all the fireworks that the ancient world had expected, but the truth is will contain no more glory than what the angels celebrated in the company of the shepherds that first Christmas night. On Christmas Eve, our focus was on the gift of God. God's gift to us was himself. Now, that probably wouldn't have worked well for any of us today. We'd have all been a bit embarrassed to stand up in front of the group that's huddled around our tree and boldly declare, "Instead of going shopping this year, I just wanted to give myself to you all." But you know, that's exactly what Jesus did. He gave himself as a gift. And it was the greatest gift we ever got. As we finish up our Christmas celebration today, I want to talk for just a few minutes about Christmas goodness. And what we're going to find out is that the idea of giving ourselves to the people around us isn't such a silly idea after all. In fact, like Ray and Larry, we are the best kinds of gifts because we keep on giving of ourselves all year and every year. But the key for us is to give gifts of goodness. Now, I know you're probably not taking notes, so I don't want to bore you with the details. But there are several Greek terms that are translated into the English language as good or goodness. Christos, for example, describes a functional good. It describes what works good. Agathosune refers to a benevolent goodness, to what does good. But this word is the word kalos, which speaks of something that is without any defects. It describes what is good. It describes goodness in its purest form. It looks beneath the behavior and examines our motives. In other words, when we do something that is kalos, there's nothing in it for us. We're not trying to score points, trying to earn a reward, or trying to manipulate people by doing something for them. Their good and their good alone becomes our only motivation. And the passage says that we are not just to do whatever it is we do out of a pure desire to encourage someone else, but we are supposed to be eager to do it. That is, we don't have to be told to do it. Instead of being good reactively, we become good proactively. We look for ways to help around the house, to be an encouragement to our parents or to our spouse. We look for ways around the church to be an encouragement to those we minister with, for ways to meet a need in the life of someone in our oikos so that they can see how much God cares for them and how He proactively sought them out, clearly communicated His desire to love us, even save us long before we looked to love Him. In fact, the Apostle John said that the only reason we ever wanted to love Him anyway was because He first loved us. So this is what I want you to do. You should all have a cardboard ornament. On it, you'll find a place where you can put your name, the name of someone you care about, and then something that you can proactively do with eagerness to show him or her or them that God loves them and that you do too. This might involve a single gift or a series of gifts. It might involve a financial gift, or it might be a commitment of service over a period of time. It might be something you already own that someone else needs more than you do. Don't just think of something you feel like giving, but think about something that would make them feel loved or appreciated. Something that would let them know that you're thinking specifically about them. Now, it would be easier to give your neighbor a gift card than to help him dig out the old grass in his yard. But maybe the time spent with him in the yard would communicate more love. So be creative and ask God for some guidance. After you fill out the ornament, place it on your tree as an act of commitment. And then, after the holidays are over and you take down your tree, rather than simply throwing the ornament away, you might want to display it on your refrigerator or some other place of prominence to remind you of that commitment for as long as it takes to fulfill it. The person you have in mind may not even be present with you in the room right now, and that doesn't matter. The commitment you make is to communicate the proactive love that defines the Christmas season to those special and, may I say, fortunate people whose names are on those cards. They're fortunate because God placed you in their lives. He loved them that much to give the gifts of His goodness to them through you, to show them that when the grace and glory and gift of Christmas all come together, the goodness that is Christmas can change the world. Have fun talking about your gifts to the others who are sitting around your tree right now. And for the Mercers and the entire High Desert Church staff team and our families, let me wish you a Merry Christmas. We are so thankful that God has given us the gifts of you. Oh, and don't forget, we will be having our regular services at all three of our campuses on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. I hope to see you then.